This podcast is brought to you by our new Buy American Support America t-shirt, available now at HowieCarShow.com. Click store. A portion of the proceeds go to help ER Eats. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The vice president is under scrutiny this morning for visiting the Mayo Clinic without wearing a mask.
Oh, no. Oh, the humanity.
Here is your vice president not wearing a mask, touring COVID wards and testing facilities at a huge hospital. No mask.
Wow, so wrong. So tone deaf. I think it's disgraceful.
He must be stopped, held. Destroyed if necessary.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
In a tweet that has since been deleted, the Mayo Clinic said it had informed the vice president of the masking policy prior to his arrival.
As vice president of the United States, I'm tested for the coronavirus on a regular basis. And everyone who is around me is tested for the coronavirus.
Why am I not wearing a face mask now? The major reason to wear a face mask is to protect you from infecting you. I had my test yesterday and it's negative.
I thought it'd be a good opportunity for me to be here and look them in the eye and say thank you.
Critics, of course, pointing out a mask doesn't cover the eyes.
Are we being too literal?
No, you fool, we're following orders.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
As you've been pointing out in your podcasts and your town halls and other technological encounters with voters. Technological encounters.
Of the first kind. Sighting.
We'll see who's sleepy.
Technological encounters.
Of the second kind. Physical evidence.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a bitch.
Technological encounters.
Of the third kind. Actual contact.
I had permission to hug Lonnie.
And the kids used to come up and rub my leg down, and I'd love kids jumping on my lap.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Don't you wonder sometimes if the Democrat president, Hillary Clinton, were in there, would there be a lockdown or would it be Corona what? As the Limerick guy just said in a tweet, in a text. Corona what? Hey, Dave, is this a big deal? There were more people died 10 years ago. That's what they would be saying. Well, you know, when the Hong Kong flu was around, there were a lot more people in a much smaller population were dying. But Richard Nixon was president. Now we have Hillary Clinton as president. And it's a manageable death toll. All deaths are tragic, but it's no need to shut down the economy. What a reaction. There's never been a case in human history where we have quarantined healthy people. That's what they would be saying, I dare say. Anyway, time now for the Trump line.
You know, Biden was right. I went to college for 4 years studying economics and intercourse. And now because of this lockdown, I don't have either. Thanks, Trump.
I think that may be the most popular of Joe Biden's gaffes. Hundreds, thousands of them over the last 18 months or so. And economic intercourse is the one I think that most people are going to remember. Until the next one.
I believed all women before I didn't believe all women.
Yeah, that's true as well. That's another good example. Yes. The Trump line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. During this national mitigation, we have been fortunate enough to be able to supply our wicked awesome windows and doors to the ongoing process of infrastructure maintenance and construction, including affordable housing projects. In fact, we are now actively hiring, so yes, we're optimistic about our country's recovery.
Hey, Howie, remember when Montreal had that one weird hockey team that played on grass with a round puck?
this whole baseball thing is so ridiculous. I don't know. Maybe it'll work. I just don't get the feeling that people want to do away with the American and National Leagues, even for one season.
Grace, you never mind all them pyramid conspiracies and bright lights in the sky. You want proof positive aliens have been here? You go look in the garden. That's the only place you can find something. One day is 6 inches long, and 2 days later is 4 feet long. It's called a zucchini, and it's space alien technology, girl.
How about kudzu vines? They go pretty fast, too.
If Grace says that she does not believe in space aliens, then it's obvious that she's one of them.
That's a very good point.
Invasion of the body snatchers.
She doth protest too much.
Right.
I come in peace.
One of my favorite series in the 1960s, it was a Quinn Martin production. He had many great productions, like The Fugitive, for instance. But I think it was called The Invaders, starring Roy Thinnes. Do you ever see that show? Taylor?
No, I've never seen it. I remember Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
No, Roy Thinnes, he was this guy. He knew that the aliens were invading, and he would try to track them down. But the problem was every time, he could never prove that they were aliens, because every time he killed one, they would disappear. So his evidence was always gone. So people obviously thought he was insane. I thought it was a great premise for a show. It only lasted for a couple of years.
Can't imagine why.
All my favorite shows don't last very long. I loved Alcatraz. That was the last series I watched on a regular basis, because I kept waiting for these prisoners from the past, from Alcatraz, from The Rock, kept coming back to modern life. Didn't get very good ratings for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, man, Howie. Can you believe that Joe Biden saying he wouldn't have economic intercourse with the world? If it were me, I would have said I would not have economic relations with that planet, Earth. Who would?
I did not have economic intercourse with that planet.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I'd like to hear Joe Biden say that. It'd be quite atrocious. Reed, she tells us that he's really quite precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
I know he doesn't drink, but wouldn't you like to administer some of the sidewalk Olympics to Joe Biden, starting with reciting the alphabet backwards? How far do you think he'd get?
I'd like to administer Hooked on Phonics. I don't think he could pass that.
Hillary Clinton looks like she's been pickled by Chardonnay.
How's she getting her Botox shots? Is that considered emergency surgery, or is that... I would think that would be the ultimate elective procedure, Botox injections. But again, she looks a lot younger from week to week.
Howie, Joe Biden calling. Come on, man. So I got that LGTB jumbled up. The fact is, I just been watching a new episode of that Letters game show, Wheel of Jeopardy. You know, hosted by Hal March on the Dumont Network. I mean it.
The Dumont Network. I thought it was on NBC Blue. Let's have Joe Biden trying LGBTQ again. Cut 11.
You know, we have to make sure all survivors of color, immigrants, survivors of Native American survivors, older survivors, those with disabilities, the LGBTQ community.
Joe's going to be doing a town hall tonight on the Mutual Radio Network. And if you can't make it, you can get the podcast on your phonograph later on.
Here's the latest from our carnival barker, otherwise known as Charlie Parker. His new plan is extend the ban, therefore making our lives even darker.
Yeah, if you didn't see this, Karen Pulido is going to be in charge of getting the economy moving again. He's got the economy shut down until May 18th. And she's got to come back with her report on May 18th, okay? But at least, you know, with when you have pay to play is running it, pay to play Polito, you know that you can get your business or your industry up and running again. Just bring some Benjamins.
Somewhere.
Benjis.
Somewhere on Beacon Hill in a room, Charlie Parker is saying to himself, a la Walter Cronkite, if I've lost Limerick Guy, I've lost Massachusetts.
Oh no, he's Limerick Guy has been lost for a long time. He's not a big tall Duvall fan. Members of the board that are gonna help Polito reopen, one of them is Mark Kerouac, CEO of Bay State Health. Contributed a grand to Polito on January 31st, another grand to Polito on December 11th, 2019. Another board member, Corey Thomas, CEO of Rapid 7. Would you care to guess who he contributed to, Taylor?
Charlie Parker?
No, $1,000 to pay-to-play Polito on December 16th of last year, and another $1,000 to pay-to-play Polito in 2018. So, bring money talks, and you know what walks. If you want to get your industry reopened in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, make those checks payable to the Polito Committee.
Is Charlie Parker that naive that he doesn't realize no one is listening to him? You stay at home, Charlie. No one else is.
Have you seen the picture of his wife up in the third floor of their house in Swampscott when the demonstrators come by? She looks a lot like Marie Antoinette Pelosi. Check it out. It's in the Salem News.
Good call, Tyler. Cuomo's definitely a reptile, one alien, and then you got the Nordics. Who do you think that is? Adam Schiff? And then we got the Grays, Nancy Pelosi. Think about it.
Think about it, Tyler.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
All right, that's it for the Chump Line today. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any hour of the day or night, including weekends. The Chump Line number, if you'd like to leave such a message, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer. During the national mitigation, we have been fortunate enough to be able to supply our wicked awesome windows and doors to the ongoing process of infrastructure maintenance and construction, including affordable housing projects. In fact, we are now actively hiring, so yes, we're optimistic about our country's recovery.
You know, Biden was right. I went to college for 4 years studying economics and intercourse. And now because of this lockdown, I don't have either. Thanks, Trump.
I repeat, I did not have economic intercourse with that there woman, Ms. Lewinsky. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show.
Hi, this is Val from Longmeadow, Mass.
Hi, this is Tony and Pietra from Haverhill, Massachusetts.
This is Murney in Fairfax County, Virginia, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
The person in life that's always been in your corner is mom. This Mother's Day, celebrate her with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, you can get 24 multicolored roses for $39.99. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click the radio icon and enter code Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you believe in UFOs?
Yes, I do.
And by that, we also mean the existence of the aliens flying those saucers. Well, that's still a yes for you?
Yes. Well, I mean, somebody has to be flying them, right?
Could be time travelers. Some people think they're demons.
You know, actually, I've gotten a couple of texts this afternoon saying they think they're time travelers from the future that are just popping around. But you know the rules in the science fiction movies. You can't screw things up when you come back from the future into the past, right?
Yeah, there's a great documentary series starring Christopher Lloyd and Michael J. Fox about that.
Yeah, I think I've seen that. Huey Lewis in the News did the music for the first movie.
Yeah. And ZZ Top was in the third one. 64% say they believe in UFOs.
Okay. I want to play a cut. As you know, Stacey Abrams, the defeated candidate for Georgia governor, she thinks she's the governor of Florida, of Georgia, by the way, excuse me. And her highest office she's ever attained is, I believe, state senator. But now she wants to be vice president, and she's openly campaigning for the nomination for vice president. And she finally got called out on it by William Lacey Clay, who's a black congressman from St. Louis. And I wish this is one of these times when I heard this quote that he gave about Stacey Abrams losing the election for governor and then demanding to be put on a national ticket. And I wish I had thought of this. It's just, it's a brilliant observation, and it's a perfect analogy. Play cut 19.
And here's what I do know. And it's like all of the other presidential candidates, Democratic presidential primary candidates, and their supporters. Okay, we went through a process. Bernie Sanders has conceded. And this applies to Stacey, too. You know, at the racetrack, you cannot show up at the winner's window with loser's tickets. You haven't won anything. You can't show up at the winner's window with loser's tickets and demand anything, okay?
I read that right away, man.
You can't show up at the winner's window with loser's tickets, so you don't have a demand.
That's right.
Let's be for real. That's not how politics works.
That's one of the smartest things I've heard a Democrat congressman say in a long, long time. You know, it's like when they say at the, you know, when the race is over, hold your tickets. You know, if there's a photo finish or whatever, hold your tickets. If your horse finished last, they don't say hold your tickets, right? I congratulate Representative Clay. 844-500-4242. Let's play Biden to Hillary yesterday, cut number 9.
Well, I have to tell you something completely honestly, straightforward. I wish this were us doing this and my supporting your reelection for President of the United States. You won the majority of the vote. I think the way in which some of the states acted was just, anyway, we would not.
Some of the ways in which the states acted. How dare they? How dare they vote for Donald Trump?
How dare you?
You have stolen my youth. Well, I guess in the case of Hillary and Joe Biden, their youth is long gone. Father Time stole their youth. 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And Mitt Romney. Do we have a time for one of the Mitt Romney cuts? In case you were wondering why you don't like Willard Mitt Romney, he said coronavirus will not be seen by history as a great leadership moment. I would just read the quote. Hey, Willard, your 2012 campaign for president will not be seen by history as a great leadership moment either. That's my take. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. We're going to be talking to Governor LePage a little bit later, former Governor LePage, about the lockdown continuing in Maine, despite the fact that so far there only about 50 people have died of the virus, but the lockdown continues into June, July, whatever, in various industries. We're also going to be talking to the former U.S. attorney in Boston about some of the releases that are being made of coronavirus-infected or non-infected patients. Joining us now on the line, however, is a former resident of Massachusetts when he was a kid, and that's Dr. Ben Carson. He's the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development now in the Trump administration. Dr. Carson, good to have you on the line.
Good to be with you.
So you're a physician. You were a surgeon. You were, I guess, you were in the hospital performing surgeries when H1N1 was around 10 years ago. How bad do you think this pandemic is?
Well, it's highly contagious. I think that's what distinguishes it from some of the others. They were just contagious, but this is highly contagious. And, of course, in that setting, if you don't protect those people who are very vulnerable, you could have a pretty significant event on your hands. I think we've done very well as a nation in terms of accepting the guidelines and adhering to them. And so we have been able to a significant degree, protect the elderly and the vulnerable as, you know, as the virus tends to play itself out. So I think obviously we're on the downslope right now. We can't sort of take our foot off the gas pedal, but we can start, you know, finding ways to normalize once again.
Now, as Secretary of HUD, your department provides a lot of money for public housing in particular. And, you know, public housing, as you know, density seems to be a factor in the spread of this this virus. So what are HUD's guide? Do you have special guidelines, or are you I know you have money under the relief acts that have been passed. What's your department doing about to try to stem this this situation?
Yeah, well, early on, when it first became apparent that this was going to be a problem, we contacted a lot of the COCs, continuum of care organizations that deal with homelessness, to give them a toolkit of best practices, things to do, how to get connected to their local health authorities, and to design a plan in case you had somebody who became positive so that you could isolate them. And even in a case where you might have several of them, have a plan so you can isolate them. And we've been fairly aggressive about that, in addition to providing money to be able to isolate these individuals. And that's probably largely the reason that we haven't had the massive outbreak among the homeless that we thought we would have. But still, we can't let our guard down. We still have to be extremely vigilant about that. And I think this is really an opportunity, quite frankly, because of the monies that have been allocated through the CARES Act to deal with homelessness, to deal with it on a more permanent basis. Yes, it's fine to put people into hotels and motels in order to space them out, but that's not a permanent solution. You know, we need to be looking at federal land, state, and local lands, places that we can put sprung structures on and other types of structures so that people have a clean bed and a place where their hygienic activities can be taken care of, where we can get the wraparound services to deal with mental illness and to deal with drug addiction, to retrain people, to provide the things that will allow them to reach a level of self-sufficiency. This is the opportunity to do that. And if we don't do that, what we end up doing is accumulating more and more dependent people. Eventually that load becomes such that it's very difficult to manage.
I'm sure you've seen the studies. They tested a bunch of people in at the Pine Street Inn in Boston. You're familiar with that place. And a huge percentage of them tested positive, but they were asymptomatic in spite of the fact that I think it's safe to say that most of them make pretty poor lifestyle choices. Why do you think that is? I mean, they can get away with just sleeping in the and abusing drugs and alcohol, and they test positive, but there's nothing wrong with them. Why is that?
Well, I don't think we absolutely know the answer to that, but you can sort of make some stabs in the dark at people who live in, you know, very desperate situations and are attacked frequently by different pathogens may develop antigens, and they may actually have a strong stronger immune system rather than a weaker immune system and be able to deal with attacks from the outside that way. Also, you know, with the homeless population, and again, we were all predicting that there would be horrible things that would occur if an epidemic or a pandemic occurred. But a lot of them don't have a lot of interaction with people who've been traveling internationally.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to put it. Yeah, I can, just knowing where they hang out in Boston, yeah, I don't think there's too many high rollers that are running into them on Melnea Cass Boulevard in Roxbury. Mm-hmm. So what about putting up the homeless population in hotels? I mean, how long can that go on? It's more happening on the West Coast than the East Coast, but how long can that be continued?
Well, that's a temporary measure, and, that is just so that we can get people separated in physical space. But obviously, you know, that's not a long-term solution. And a long-term solution is what we need to look at. A nation as prosperous as ours, to have all these homeless people makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And I'm glad that at least now people are going to be talking about it. You know, sometimes I feel like a voice crying in the wilderness talking about that. And I think more people will be paying attention to it. Plus, we now have, you know, more funding to be able to deal with it in an accurate way.
Housing and Urban Development deals with Federal Housing Administration, and you insure your department through the FHA insures mortgages. I mean, how long can you have this moratorium on paying mortgages?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you asked that question because it gives me an opportunity to say something very important. If you can pay your mortgage, please pay your mortgage.
I'm glad you said that, because I get the feeling a lot of people are going to take this as going to use this as an excuse not to pay their mortgage.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, you're also doing your fellow taxpayers a favor, and you're doing your nation a favor. So just don't take advantage of that situation. You know, we have a lot of money to deal with this problem, with the mortgages that are insured through the FHA, and things, mortgage-backed securities through Ginnie Mae. So we can go on for quite some time, but, you know, it's obviously we want to get over this as quickly as possible.
Okay. Yeah, you know the situation, though. If you give something away for free, you're going to have a very long line of people, you know, even if it's just a moratorium on paying, you know?
Right. And it's not really free. It's not really free because, you know, the taxpayers are on the line for this. And, of course, you know, Ginnie Mae has the full faith and credit of the federal government. So even if our funding ran out, you know, we just go to Treasury and get more of the taxpayers' money. I don't want to keep doing that. That doesn't make any sense.
Dr. Ben Carson, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. We appreciate you being with us. Thanks very much. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Meanwhile, back at the State House, the kleptocracy is still operating by means of telecommunications, I guess, or whatever Hillary Clinton calls it. And today they were trying to, in the Massachusetts House of Representatives, pass a new set of rules which would have consolidated power even more in the hands of the legislative leadership. They were going to basically eliminate roll call voting. They decided not to do that after an outbreak of an insurrection from the members last night. But they were going to cut back on debate. They were only going to allow debate to be continued by the leadership, the chairman of the committees. They were only going to allow people to speak if they said which side they were on before they spoke, and they had to announce at 10 o'clock in the morning what they were going to do. It was just an attempt to consolidate the power even further. And so today the Republicans stopped it. We talked to Mark Lombardo last night about this, the rep from Bill Ricca, and he said he was going in, and a bunch of Republicans went in there today and they stopped it. And so I'll let him tell you what happened next. Representative Mark Lombardo, what happened today at the State House?
Hi, Howie. Well, it was a really interesting day. Any day that there is more Republicans in the House chamber than there are Democrats is an interesting one. Again, keep in mind it was an informal session, right? So there wasn't necessarily a requirement for anyone to come in. However, what spooked the Democrats is that we could have asked for a standing vote on amendments, and we would have won the day. So they immediately put the session into recess. And I don't know if the bat signal went over the State House, but every rep from within 128 came bombing in from the Democratic caucus. And soon there was about 30 Democrats on the House floor to outnumber the Republicans.
Oh, boy. And but you guys stopped it because this, to change the rules, you need one person can object and stop it in an informal session. So DeLeo came out, the speaker, with this amazing statement here. And I'm going to just read you a little bit of it and get your response. Again, the Republicans stopped changing the rules that had already been voted on, and the rules would have consolidated even further the power in the hands of the speaker, who has almost total control over the House of Representatives. And this is what he said, what the Republicans did. This is an unparalleled example of both recklessness and fiscal irresponsibility, a partisan political move meant to enhance their power at the expense of the taxpayer and the safety of the public. With all due respect, Representative Lombardo, I didn't realize you guys had any power.
It is the most, and this is a big statement, one of the biggest and most hypocritical statements I have ever seen on Beacon Hill. The very motion of these adopted new rules is for the speaker consolidating his power. All we did was say, hey, we just want to play by the rules that were in place. And for the speaker to say that we were trying to do a power grab is the most dishonest statement to the general public that I have seen in a long time. And one amazing, Howie, it's really disappointing, all right, because we are in a pandemic and we're all in it together, as they say. And the speaker is lying to the public, being extremely untruthful, when the reality today is how we went in and said, we're willing to have some compromise. But what we'd like to see is the ability for us to be able to speak and to operate under the existing rules. And if we need to modify them in a way that makes sense, we were willing to do it. But they completely crushed us and had zero desire to even compromise on anything.
Well, they're saying that you are, that, I mean, they're trying to, you know, shame you into going along with this total takeover of whatever little dissent there was in the House, or there is in the House. The Republican action could imperil the state's cash flow, require cuts to services for vulnerable populations during a public health crisis. The vulnerable populations are being endangered by the fact that you Republicans want to be allowed to speak on the floor of the House.
Well,
how dare you?
Keep in mind that the speaker has had this bill for temporary borrowing. That's what he's talking about. He's had the bill for a month, but he has sat on it. And now to try to force our hand and to try to turn the public against the Republicans who want to make sure that our constituents have their voice, he's going to try to hang that around our neck. Well, the reality is that the speaker is the one whose team put this package together. There is absolutely no reason to change the rules just because we're changing the the technology in which we're going to operate, because we're going to do something virtually. Doesn't mean you now need to make it so that nobody can speak or that you limit how much they can speak. It's absolutely unconscionable.
Virtually North Korean. That's the way the legislature seems to be moving. So what happens tomorrow? So it's still an informal session, so you stop it tomorrow too, right?
You know, that will be the goal. And look at Holly, I understand what negotiations are, and I understand this may end up in a way that we don't love, right? There are things that we don't like, but we're not being unreasonable. All we're asking is for them to make reasonable modifications, reasonable end dates on when this order would go, open up time for speakers to be able to debate freely when they see something, and make sure they don't have to pre-register what they may or may not want to say. That's all. This is not that hard. Unless there's some accommodation there, the plan is to continue to shut this down. And this is on the speaker. This is not on the Republican caucus, because we want to represent our constituents.
So the progressive Democrats, so-called, had a problem, especially with the roll call requirements, which would have basically eliminated roll call votes. Why aren't they helping you guys out here?
I did speak to a couple today, I received a couple different reactions. One, several are very much with us on this. And actually, some are even DeLeo's team, but they would never speak out, as you can imagine. The other piece of it is some of the progressives didn't realize the extent of what the rules changes were. It was glossed over in their caucus. We're educating the progressive as to what happened.
It's such a hassle.
They don't love it.
It's such a hassle when you have to read the actual bills and changes in the rules that are coming out. What the hell? How much work do they have to do? That was 11 pages. You read it.
It was not a heavy lift. And by the way, this is probably one of the easiest docs to understand. Some of these bills to get really technical can
right.
be challenging sometimes. This was pretty easy. So there's really no excuse not to know it. But even despite that, the bottom line is, Howie, is anyone is they are afraid to challenge the speaker. And I think that kind of cuts to what the heart of what happened today, why DeLeo reacted the way he did.
Wow. Yeah, he's not used to any dissent at all. Mark Lombardo, representative from Billerica, keep up the good work. Stand firm. I'm Howie Carr.